We're live at the Tour Championship. Another leaderboard update coming your way. Stay tuned for that as we get ready for the Falcons and Dolphins here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's going down in Miami, guys, by the way, and we'll talk more about what Kevin Stefanski had to say as they prepare for that matchup tonight. But right now, we got to talk some Braves with our buddy Chad Bishop, AJC.com. And, Chad, what a performance last night from Chris Sale. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, you know, we've been talking about our pitching staff, it feels like all season. Did we have enough? Do we have enough? We don't have enough. And then they make the move to go get Mally at the trade deadline. Are your concerns about this staff as a whole, have they lessened since the trade deadline?
I don't know if they've lessened. I think they're about the same, to be honest with you. I mean, I wasn't overly concerned, but I will say I still don't think it's, you know, the best pitching staff in the National League going in. I mean, if you compare it with the Brewers, if you compare it with the Dodgers, if you compare it with the Phillies. Now, that being said, I think, to me, the discussion should be more about, you know, the quality and quantity of the pitchers the Braves have overall. Adding Tyler Mahle was huge, but Didier Fuentes, Raisel Iglesias, the Dillon boys, Chris, you know, Victor Medeiros, the way he's been pitching, some of these guys out of the bullpen are going to pay bigger factor than I think we're giving them credit for. And then if you add in A.J. Smith-Shawver and what Grant Holmes has been doing and what Martin Perez has done on the season, you know, they don't have to start a game and give you six. Maybe they come in after a starter is knocked out in the second, and maybe they bridge the gap to the bullpen. So I think collectively as a whole, I really like Atlanta's staff as a whole. So I'm not necessarily, you know, concerned with who's necessarily starting game one or two or three. I like the Braves as a whole and what arms are able to run out there no matter the situation, no matter what ending it might be.
Well, Chad, we were talking about, you know, Suarez coming back, Fuentes, tough as heck. It's not the night shift, but it's close, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, night in and night out. And I know Dillon Lee has struggled a little bit of late, but he's basically been an all-star this season. And Raisel Iglesias has had some tough stretches, but, man, he's a consistent closer. Didier Fuentes is a star in the making. I mentioned Victor Medeiros. I think there's a reason they stuck with him and said their goodbyes to Tyler Kinley. I just think he's proven that he's worth, you know, some of his weight as well. So all these guys are chipping in. And then, you know, you added Brent Suter at the deadline, and that guy's eating innings, and he's pitching really well too. Yeah, man, there's a reason. I know it's frustrating, I think, sometimes for fans when a starter gets pulled after 5 1/3 or maybe 6 innings. But there's a reason, man. Walt Weiss knows how strong his bullpen is, and when he sees a win right there in front of him, he's going to go to his bullpen because he knows 9 nights out of 10, they're going to put up zeros and shut the other team down.
We are talking with Chad Bishop from the AJC, AJC.com, covers the Braves, guys. Braves sweep the Dodgers last night. They'll take on Colorado in a new series. What do you make of Ha-Seong Kim in this, I don't want to say return, but he's had two moments here over the last couple of nights where you feel, okay, a little bit better about Kim, because it doesn't feel like they're going to let him go at this point.
Yeah, he went from pariah to cult hero overnight, didn't he? I mean, it was been so fun to see. Like, he was getting ovations coming up to bat last night, stole a base. I mean, the crowd's going wild and happy for him, right? I mean, the guy is just could have easily pouted or asked to be traded or asked to be let go, and he's just continued to work. Chris Sale had a great line last night about how Ha-Seong Kim has just worn out that batting cage in the stadium trying to get back to where he was. Really a great example of stick-to-itiveness. He's getting to start at shortstop again tonight on a Friday night. Now, will he be the starting shortstop over the next, you know, 5-6 weeks? I don't think so. I think that's still Mauricio Dubon's job, truth be told. But, again, you know, if he can give some good at-bats, and Walt Weiss talked about unsung heroes in the playoffs, not saying Ha-Seong Kim will be that guy, but we were all remembering 21, right, what happened with that Braves team and those guys sort of stepping up out of nowhere and becoming heroes. That's what you need in the postseason, and you got Ha-Seong Kim, a veteran presence on that roster who can pinch hit, who can steal a base, who can maybe give you some defensive prowess at shortstop. Great option to have now, it seems like.
Talking baseball, guys, with Chad Bishop covering the Braves from the AJC. That's the thing about Kim. We were saying yesterday, we talked to Tony Gwynn Jr., who said he was very popular in the Padres clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Likeable guy. So I guess those guys were – that's why that reaction was almost like, yes, with the walk-off the other night. It's not like he was being ostracized. These guys were pulling for him.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, for someone like myself who's fortunate enough to be in that clubhouse every day at home and on the road – Ozzie Albies especially, man. Ha-Seong Kim and Ozzie Albies, you can tell, are good teammates. His locker is right next to Mauricio Dubon. Even Doobie on Thursday afternoon was teasing him about how nervous the dugout was during his game-winning at-bat. his translator, David Lee, who's with Ha-Sung Kim on his right shoulder all the time, I mean, the guys love him as well. He's basically a part of the team as well. So, yeah, man, it's not like this guy is pouting and sort of kept to himself. The entire clubhouse loves him and is rooting for him and is trying to pull him along through this thing. And I think they were probably more excited about that hit than Ha-Sung Kim was himself.
Chad, what's the weak spot on this team?
I still think probably offensively from a power perspective. We know what Drake can do. We know what Matt Olson can do. And of course, Michael Harris. But, you know, I still worry about Austin Riley's ability to come up with a big homer. Or, Michael Harris has gone a little bit cold. You know, Mike Krzyzewski really hasn't given you a ton in the power department. They brought in Lane Thomas to hopefully pick up those numbers a little bit. But I still don't look at him as a power hitter. And I know home runs aren't generally going to get it done in the postseason, right? But still the threat of one, I think there's something to be said for that, right? This team is certainly capable of what they call moving the line, 1-9, getting guys on base, moving them over, getting some big singles and some big doubles. But to me, when I look at the lineup, I'm thinking, well, who are these? I think of Philadelphia, right? You got Kyle Schwarber in the middle there and Shohei Ohtani on the Dodgers and William Contreras on the Brewers. And really, I would like to see the Braves have a little bit more power. Maybe they do that in September. Maybe they bring up a guy like Rowdy Tellez who can run into one and give you that power option off the bench. So I think I kind of look at that aspect of this team as I would like to see them have maybe some more heavy bats in that lineup.
Talking about baseball with the Bravos, and it's Chad Bishop. Now, here's the thing. We know that we've got it. You said you're not really concerned about how the rotation plays out. I definitely don't want to be in that best of three, Chad, because anything can happen there. We know that that's not going to maybe show the quality of your squad over 162. How important is it, though, to lock in? Right now we're on the heels of the Dodgers, that two seed, if not the one seed.
It's tricky, right? Because we've seen in years past those teams with the byes, sometimes that can be a detriment. Shoot, I'm not even talking about baseball, right? This college football playoff.
Right. Playoffs, right? Oh, like, Bobby Cox is brave sometimes, too. You're right.
Yeah, right. I mean, sometimes that bye can backfire, especially if you get a bye and then all of a sudden you're facing, let's say, an Arizona Diamondback team or a San Diego Padres team who is hot all of a sudden. So I don't know. I think there's arguments to be made for both. I mean, I think, you definitely, to your point, you'd probably want to avoid that three-game series. It's just too short, and anything can happen. Even if Chris Sale starts game one, you know, what if it's like last night? I mean, as great as last night was, let's be honest, one swing away from that game being tied and maybe going to extras and then all heck breaking loose. So you just never know in that three-game series. So I sort of lean toward wanting that bye for these Braves to set up their rotation and set up a longer playoff series. But again, maybe you play early on, maybe you play that first series and you get a little bit hot and you go on a roll and you make your way to the World Series. So I'll tell you after the playoffs. How about that?
No, that's fair. Chad, do you buy what we've seen from Bryce Elder this season? Like, is this what we've been waiting for? Because he's been really consistent.
I am, yeah. And I think because of the consistency, and yeah, there's been some clunkers here and there, but honestly, yep. What pitcher outside of a guy like Chris Sale or Hall of Fame pitchers don't have clunkers from time to time, or a Jacob Mizorowski? I mean, more often than not, he's been very good. And something I was talking with someone about is we forget that more often than not, Bryce Elder every fifth day is going to take the ball and he's going to give you 5-6 innings. I think about that start he had against the Mets at Truist Park where he gave up 7 runs. He went deep into that game and saved the bullpen. I know it's not much of a silver lining, but that's the type of things that Bryce Elder does for this team. And then there's other nights where he's really, really good. And now that he's sort of fought through this little bit of a knee issue that he had, yeah, man, I think he's had a really good season and should be commended for the way he's pitched. Is it Cy Young level? No, but he's a quality starter for this baseball team.
Chad, haven't had you on in a while, so talking big picture here, I know we're trying to win a pennant, maybe win a World Series. Mm-hmm. You going to re-sign Ozzie Albies?
I think they should. I would like to see the Braves re-sign Ozzie and Mauricio Dubon. I think you'd have your middle infield sort of solidified, right, for the near future. Right. Ozzie was an all-star this season. Has he played like an all-star the entire year? Maybe not. But, I mean, if Ozzie Albies goes away, you're going to have to go and try to find something that's maybe a little bit unknown. And he's meant so much to this franchise as he's moved up the career leaderboard list in so many categories. I talked to Matt Olson this year about Ozzy in the clubhouse and just how he's sort of that conduit between the Latin players who speak Spanish and the guys who speak English, how he's friends with everyone. Just sort of a staple of this modern era right now that we're in of Braves baseball. So, I mean, I would lean toward yes, that he needs to be resigned and continue to be a part of this franchise.
And just as a follow-up, kind of talk about the big picture, what's Strider's role going to be moving forward?
Great question. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know if Spencer Strider knows or if the Braves even know because of the injuries that have occurred to him, because of where he is at right now, because of what he's trying to overcome. You never know, right? Like some guy, look at Chris Sale is a great example, right? A few years in Boston, a lot of folks thought he was probably done, and what are the Braves doing signing this guy? Not going to say that Spencer Strider turns out that way. It's just such an unknown right now.
Right.
So I think Spencer deserves the benefit of the doubt in determining what he wants to do, right? Like if he wants to be a starting pitcher for the rest of his life, then I think that's what, if he wants to do, the Braves need to give him that option, right? To like continue to stretch out, continue to build up. But maybe be a little bit more cautious than they've been. Not to say that they haven't been cautious, but maybe even play it a lot slower than it has been going. Because, again, I don't think Spencer should be forced into a role he doesn't want to do.
Another sweep coming here with the Rockies?
Hey, man, all sports are all the same, right? You play that big series against a big-time brand
right.
name and a big-time opponent, and you got the letdown coming up. This is the This is the FCS school on the schedule coming up, right? So
right.
The Braves got to be careful. Now, the good teams show up no matter what, no matter who they're playing. And the Braves have sort of feasted on some bad pitching most of the year outside of the Twins series recently.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, they should on paper, you know. But we know how baseball is coming off that big sweep of the Dodgers and a big win over the Brewers. And now you got the Rockies there, and it's football season on a Friday night. Truist probably not as rocking as it has been all week. They better be ready to play. I know that much because it's a prime opportunity for that letdown game.
Chad Bishop to Braves. Get your helmet on. Real quick, you just mentioned the Brewers. I don't sweat them because they've never shown the ability to win it, no matter if it's Greg Council or the present manager. Do you think the DNA is different on this year's Milwaukee?
It sure looks like it, man. Seeing them in person, I became a quick fan. I just love the at-bats they put together. I love the speed. I love the defense. I think they have great pitching. Yeah, I understand that in years past they haven't been able to get over that hump, but, man, they look like a really, really complete ball club with a lot of young talent and a lot of great athleticism. You know, I still lean the Dodgers as the team to beat, but it would definitely not surprise me if the Brewers win at all. I really like what they have on that roster. They were a lot of fun to watch up there in Milwaukee when we went up there last weekend. Really, really complete team. So I do think they have a much better chance probably than people are giving them.
I would agree. Chad, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Check him out, AJC.com, covering the Braves. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, fellas, thanks.
Yeah, man, we're live at the Tour Championship. Guess who's one stroke off the lead? Ooh. What's going on with
Scotty Scheffler?
We'll get you caught up coming up, but when we come back, we'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind here at the Tour Championship.
If he says anything about the WNBA, I'm going to punch him right in the stomach.
Well, let's find out. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell.